sack by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
10, 5, touchdown!
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles on MSG. I'm Bob Papa from the Giants Legacy Club in the new MetLife Stadium. In the early 1980s, the Giants started building the foundation for their 1986 and 1990 championship teams. Giants head coach Bill Parcells and general manager George Young realized they needed a rugged element on the offensive side of the ball. So in the 1985 draft, in the fourth round, the Giants selected tight end Mark Bavaro, who paid immediate dividends.
So, Mark, what's going through your mind in 1985 when you find out you're selected by the New York Giants?
I was just happy to be drafted. You know, back then it wasn't televised like it is today. And I went in the fourth round, and I didn't know much about the Giants. In fact, one of my buddies who was with me that day, he kind of had to fill me in on what the Giants were all about. He told me about Zeke Mowat. He told me about, you know, Phil Sims. He told me about this great coach they had, Bill Parcells. So, you know, I really didn't have much experience. I didn't know that much about him. But when Bill Parcells got on the phone and I talked to him, you know, I had a sense that this guy was something special. And when I got to the Giants and I saw the guys, you know, I kind of figured that they were going places.
With all that talent that they had defensively, what was it like to go against those guys in practice? And it had to be a great benefit for you to prepare to play in the NFL when you're going against great defensive players.
Oh, yeah. You know, we used to come out and play at Giant Stadium when I was at Notre Dame. We played Army, and we'd walk through the stadium the day before. And while we were up there, the Giants were coming out for their practice. And I remember someone pointing out Kyle Banks and Lawrence Taylor. And they were just standing there. And I'm thinking, who are those guys? They're huge. Like, oh, those are the linebackers. And at college, you know, I was used to going up against, you know, 6'1", 6'2", linebackers, 220 maybe. And here, all these guys were like 6'4", 6'5", 250, 260. And I remember thinking to myself, I would hate to have to be a tight end on this team and play these guys every day in practice. But you're right. I mean, having to do that really made me a better tight end. It was hard. It was enjoyable. And, of course, you know, everybody talks about Lawrence Taylor, and he was by far the best football player I ever saw. But the hardest guy to play against was practice against was Kyle Banks. I mean, you just couldn't block him. He was one of the toughest guys I've ever run across in the NFL. And he, more than anybody, made me the blocking tight end that I became.
Let's go back to your first training camp. I guess it was at Pace back then, right?
Yeah.
The Giants had Zeke Moult, but when did it click in for you that, you know what, I can make it at this level and do well for myself?
I was doing so much work during that training camp because for a long time it was just me and Zeke. And, you know, Zeke, the one thing about Zeke Moult, he was a hard worker. I mean, he never slacked off, and he was a great tight end, you know, so I wasn't planning on contributing much. Yeah, he was never a guy who was going to let anybody take a rep away from him. So the Pittsburgh Steelers game, last preseason game of the season, Zeke blew his knee out. And it wasn't until then that I realized I was the only other tight end on the roster. I know that Parcells hesitated to put me in. I could see him looking around the sidelines. Finally, he just said, go in, and I went in the huddle, and, you know, I remember Rob Coppin saying, this is it, man, you know. And I think at that point, I realized that I was at least going to make the team, you know, because I was the only tight end.
And Bavaro would exceed all expectations in his first year with the Giants, tallying 37 receptions for over 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. He would be named the all-rookie team for his strong performance during the 1985 season.
That's a good catch, Mark. Big play, son. That's the way to go. Hey, those guys are going to beat you around. You got to learn to beat their hands off you. You know what I mean?
So all of a sudden, to come into this atmosphere with a guy like Bill, and I figured out pretty quickly that it was a special group of guys and that they were going to have some success in the future.
You guys make the playoffs in 85, and the Giants have a home playoff game, and you guys beat the San Francisco 49ers. What was it like that day in the stadium? I mean, it's your rookie year, but this is a huge event for the Giants to have a home playoff game. It had been, you know, decades since they last had one.
Sims looks over the middle. He's going end zone. It is complete to the ball.
To be in Giant Stadium, you know, in New York with these guys, some legendary names who I had come to realize who they were as I was playing with them that year, and to have that kind of success. And I was just a kid, maybe 22 or 23, and I'd never experienced anything like it. I did start to realize what a playoff win meant to the franchise. It was phenomenal.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Mark Bavaro. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles.
The thing was, it was late in the game. We had to be happened to beat in Houston that day 35-14, and it finally comes down to the two-minute warning. We're glad this game's going to be over with. And we're standing in the huddle, and the play comes in. Oh, slant 35. Oh, okay. And I hear, I look at Mark, and he goes, oh. And I said, you know, he just makes a lot. I said, Mark, you know, what's wrong? You don't want to run that? He goes, I want to run it to the other side. I said, well, what difference does it make? I want to hit him one more time. You know, so there's somebody over there he must have had this thing going with, and he wanted to hit this guy just one more time before the game was over, and I guess leave this guy with impression that night before he went home.
When you lost to the Bears in the 85 playoff game in Chicago in the wind, you know, that was the coronation, and they go on to win the Super Bowl, and they beat the Patriots. But when you left the field that day, did you say to yourself, we can beat these guys? Because there was a lot of things that happened in that game where the Giants created some of their own self-inflicted wounds. Not to take anything away from Chicago, they were a great team. But did you kind of walk off the field and say, God, you know, we could play with these guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we, you know, they had this great 4-6 defense, diamond defense, whatever, and, you know, no one could do anything against it. And, you know, to their credit, they were a great team, and, you know, they started to find their stride and home field advantage. It was cold, and we just wore down after a while. But we never had a thought that we didn't belong there. And I remember Bill turned around to me and probably to some other people and just said, get ready for next year, start working for next year, because we're going to be back here. And that was the attitude of everybody. And I think there was kind of a feeling amongst everyone that, you know, we weren't just going to have a regular season. We weren't going to have a season. We were just hoping to make it to the playoffs. I mean, we weren't really loud about it. You know, braggadocio wasn't really a big thing with the Giants. But in the back of everybody's mind, I really feel that we all believe that, you know, we could win a Super Bowl.
And 1986 would become a magical year in Giants history. Bavaro evolved into Phil Sims' main target with over 1,000 yards receiving. He earned his first Pro Bowl selection, and his tough, smash-mouth style epitomized what Big Blue was all about.
He was a tough guy, and he would fit in, you know, perfectly, because he really didn't have a whole lot to say. He was serious about playing the game, and he was just a tough SOB.
I think when someone thinks of Mark Bavaro, that's what they would remember. Toughness and physicality, and giant blue guy.
Jerry Faust had said when he coached in college that he had never seen a guy as tough as you play through injuries. You get the broken jaw in 86, and you're playing with the thing wired shut. Where did that toughness come from?
I just think whatever someone's pain threshold is, and if for certain body parts, it's different. You know, for me, you know, those other things weren't really that bothersome.
How you doing, kid?
All right.
I'm proud of you. Tough guy, kid.
How'd you keep your strength up when you had your jaw wired shut?
We had a blender and you mixed up food. And on the road, Jimmy Madalino was one of our trainers, assistant trainers. And I know he would go out to dinner and he'd bring back a take-home meal for me. And he brought along the blender and we went in our room and he would just blend up some eggplant parmesan and I'd sip it through a straw, and it was the best stuff I ever had.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, the Niner game, and you must run into Giant fans constantly about that, carrying all the Niners. I mean, it's showing up on the video board in the stadium. You flip on NFL films, there's great plays, and there's that play.
Complete to Bavaro, down to the 35, still on his feet to the 30, down to the 25, down to the 20. He's got four men in his back and gets down to the 17.
The only thing that was going through my mind was, why haven't they tackled me yet? Because Ronnie Lott was one of the first guys to hit me.
And the tight end fights his way inside the 30, and a single effort to the 18-yard line, a solitary effort by Bavaro.
He was a guy that was sort of the standard bearer for the attitude of the team.
That play epitomizes how tough Mark was and how we wanted to be as a team.
This is classic and vintage Bavaro. This is what he does the best. He is just one tough cookie. He just carries 49ers all the way inside the 20, carry them for 10 yards to get the first down and set up a possible Giants score.
And he did it on national TV, you know. Just an unbelievable player. You know, it's still the signature play of that game is that.
If there's ever one play that a player will ever be noted for, I think that is the signature play for Mark Bavaro. But also it signified that we had a pretty doggone potent offense that could get the job done.
Your second year in the league, and you win the conference championship, and the party in Giants Stadium is unbelievable. The Mara family is going to their first ever Super Bowl. What are you thinking as you're in the locker room and you've taken that step, knowing that the job's not done? The object is to win the thing, not just to get there.
I just remember thinking, okay, you know, next, who's next?
Next up, the Denver Broncos in Pasadena. What are you thinking as that game's sort of unfolding?
That game kind of reminded me of a lot of the games in that 86 season. We would run our game plan, and everybody knew it, but you couldn't stop it because we were good. And we were losing at halftime, 10-9. There was no sense of panic. We just figured this is the way our season's been going. Just going to go back out, keep beating on them, and sooner or later they're going to break, and that's what happened.
Sims has the ball. Sims throws, end zone, Bavaro, touchdown!
What did it mean to you to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
Looking back on it, it was pretty cool. You know, but at the time, the only thing it meant to me was that it was the go-ahead touchdown. Because, like I said, we were losing 10-9. And the great part about that touchdown is somebody took a picture of it head-on, of me head-on. So you got me kneeling down, giving thanks for scoring a touchdown. And behind me, you can see the scoreboard on the other side of the field. That's the only meaning it really had to me, was that it was the start of the turning of the tide. And we never really looked back from it.
Sims has the ball. He is going to pass. He does. It is complete. Yes! He hung on to the ball. Bavaro hung on to the ball. McConkey can down with it. Off his fingertips. Bavaro to McConkey in the end zone.
The game was pretty much a foregone conclusion, but still, you know, you wanted to get touchdowns when you could, and I didn't want to have to go back to the sideline and face Parcells knowing I dropped a surefire touchdown right in my hands. And so when I saw the ball bounce off my head and fall into McConkey's hands, it didn't fall into his hands. He was all over it.
Exactly.
You know? He wanted it. Thank God, you know. Thank God he's like that, because he caught it. And I was probably happier than he was.
The Super Bowl champions are the Giants, everybody's dream in football.
I had a lot of good friends on that team. You know, we really loved each other. You know, we were a very close group.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Mark Bavaro. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Mark Bavaro.
I tell you, he's a stone face, that Bavaro, man. You know what the hell he's thinking. I'd hate to have to fight that son of a gun.
That's one tough, talented football player right there. I'll tell you one thing, I was glad he was on our team. I really was.
When you think of Parcells, you said that you kind of got him right off the bat, you know, when you first came to the team. Because you hear a lot of guys say, you know, years later, I got it. I didn't get him at the time, I get it. But did you pretty much get him the whole way through?
Yeah, I got him. I got him from the beginning. He was pretty, you know, to me, he was pretty easy guy to understand, you know. Do your work, you know, keep your mouth shut. Don't self-aggrandize, all those things. I mean, I loved him, you know, right from the get-go. You know, that's the kind of guy I want to play for. When I think of Bill Parcells, I think he's a funny, funny guy. And he would crack me up. I wouldn't laugh out loud, but I'd be inside, man. I'd be cracking up at some of the comments that he would say to people.
Make sure you remind him. I might try something big early.
Yeah.
Okay?
Last time I told you guys that, you forgot to remember. Remember?
When he had that quote, "I'd hate to fight that son of a." Did you laugh when he said that about you?
Yeah, I didn't see that till later. But yeah, when I see it now, it's funny. Because I never thought he thought of me that way. You know, I was afraid of him. I still am. I still get nervous when I see him and talk to him.
All right, so you become a cult figure. Fans identify with you because you appear to be a lot like the fans that are following the Giants. Now you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You got the nickname Rambo. I mean, how did you take to all that for a guy that didn't seek any of it?
Fortunately, back then, you know, you could kind of ignore it, you know, which is what I did. I shied away from it. I didn't really want any part of it. I mean, I liked the respect the fans gave me. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it meant a lot to me, as it would to anybody. So the Rambo thing came about when I was a rookie. We were at minicamp, and the veterans all went out to a movie, and the big movie at the time was Rambo. So when they came back to eat, the older wise guys, you know, would look around and say, "Hey, didn't we just see you at the movies?" You know, so it was kind of a teasing thing. A lot of people think they named me Rambo because of the toughness of Sylvester Stallone, but it wasn't. It was just they happened to see Sylvester Stallone that day, and I showed up, and I had a little resemblance to him, and that's how it started. A lot of people say, you know, "You were tough, Mark," and I was tough because I knew I had to be tough for Jersey guys like Bill Parcells, for all the other guys in the stands, you know, who were expecting a lot, and especially for my Italians out there, you know. That was probably the biggest connection I have with Giant fans. There's so many, they're all Italians around here, and it was to be able to perform and please those guys, you know, it was like getting the approval of the big kids in the neighborhood, you know, of your father, of your uncles. They were supporting me, and they liked me, you know, so I wanted to please them.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Mark Bavaro. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Mark Bavaro.
Mark made everybody around him inherit that same mindset. I mean, his mindset was so infectious that he was a no-nonsense guy, tough as nails. I played against him in college. He was the same way. Just go out, lunch pail, grind it out, knock your face in the dirt, doesn't even look at you, just goes back, just to line up to do it again. And it was just like a grindstone. No matter what, if you hit him hard, he just got up. And you knew he was coming right back at you.
Early in the 1989 season, Bavaro would suffer a knee injury that would threaten his career and sideline him for the rest of the year.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to play again. The knee injury from the get-go was a problem.
But the tough-minded tight end would valiantly return to the field to be a key contributor to the Giants' historic season in 1990.
Sims throws, end zone! Bavaro, touchdown! Sims fakes the pitch, throws! Complete touchdown!
Sims got hurt, Hostetler came in, and we were on this fantastic run.
Let's go to the San Francisco playoff game, the NFC Championship game. And, you know, here it is, Giants and Niners again. They get the lead, and then Hostetler's taking a beating, but he just keeps getting back
from
up.
Jim Burt, I think,
right? From Jim Burt.
By the way, Jim Burt, there was no animosity between the Giants and 49ers until Jim Burt went to the 49ers. Thank God Hostetler came back.
Hostetler's trying to pass, runs away from trouble, turns upfield, runs to the sideline and throws on the run and completes the Bavaro. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
I never had any doubt that Matt Barr was going to make the field goal. I mean, the guy was just money.
Giants are trailing by a point. All depends on Matt Barr. Fans are on their feet and screaming. Snap, spot, kick is away, it's got the distance, it is good!
At Super Bowl 25 in Tampa, behind Bill Belichick's Hall of Fame defensive game plan, Big Blue would halt the Buffalo Bills' potent offensive attack, and Bavaro would help the Giants capture their second Super Bowl victory in just 4 years.
I just was thinking, I'm going to have two Super Bowl rings, you know. I never thought I'd have one. You know, now I'm going to have two. How many people have two rings?
Giants have one!
Super Bowl 25.
I lucked out. You know, my pro career, I mean, I couldn't have come to a better place with a better coach, with better players, and especially, you know, with a better owner. I was only here 6 years. It wasn't like I played here for 15, 20 years, but those were six special years, you know, for the franchise. And because of that, you know, I'll always, always feel like a Giant. When I see the helmet, you know, I think of me. You know, it's like I'm looking at myself. You know, that's how we feel, because it was really a special group of guys, you know, and it was a special time for New York.
Mark Bavaro's final game with the New York Giants turned out to be Super Bowl 25, and the Giants win in Tampa. Bavaro sat out the 1991 season because of his knee injuries, then wound up playing a couple of years in Cleveland before wrapping up his career in 1995 with the Philadelphia Eagles. But Mark Bavaro's true grit and style, symptomatic of the Giants teams in the mid-'80s and 1990. That wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa from the Legacy Club and MetLife Stadium. We'll see you again next week, everybody. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.